This morning, I want to get into the message entitled Unstained. Unstained. And so we're gonna begin by looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. We're gonna look at the ESV, the English Standard Version. And it says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about whom you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go ahead and let's pray now that we've read the word. Father, we just thank you for this word. Thank you for this Holy Scripture and the opportunity that we have to gather together through online, through media, through electronic devices, that there's no distance in the Spirit, and we have this moment together as your church to hear your word, to hear your voice. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, eyes open to see, hearts prepared by your Spirit to believe and to receive your word. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for what you're doing even now in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, thinking about things, the topic this morning is unstained. I was thinking about pet peeves that we have. Pet peeves like nails on a chalkboard are really common. I really hurts. Messy eaters is something that I grew up. My mom had a problem with messy eaters growing up. If they chewed loudly, smacked your food, and knifed your plate, messy eaters was upsetting. Various, you know, you stop and think about different pet peeves. For me, a pet peeve is stains on a shirt. So if I'm eating, and without fail, it often happens with red sauce or pizza or something, I'll get something on me. And in that moment, I don't want you to dab it. I don't want you to blot it. We will burn this shirt and I will find a new one because I can't stand stains. So when Paul is writing, keep the commandment unstained, I'm like, yes, Paul, we need to keep it unstained. Stains are bad. And he's writing, just for a little bit of perspective and understanding, Paul is writing to Timothy. This is his first letter to Timothy. Paul, incredibly influential in the early church, incredibly, he's a brilliant thinker, scholar, writer, has an encounter with Jesus, because before he was a religious thug. He had authority to kill, if necessary, followers of this Jesus. And God comes to him, speaks audibly, knocks him out off his donkey, and has an encounter with him, changes his life. And he becomes the man God uses to reach the known world. And Paul has this relationship with Timothy, this young man who Paul's been establishing churches, and Timothy is a pastor of one of those churches. He has a gift of leadership on his life, and Paul recognizes that. He's writing to him like a father writes to a son. And he's encouraging him and speaking into his life. You know, they have a relationship not unlike Batman and Robin. He's teaching him. He's discipling him. He's being a father figure to him. And he writes to him, and he says, I charge you to keep the commandment unstained. Now, there's much deliberation over what the commandment is, but the general consensus is what he's just been talking about is loving God, loving people, walking in righteousness and godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. This is the heart of the commandment to the gospel. And he says, keep that unstained. That's the bedrock, the backbone of the charge is to keep it unstained. And again, I'm like, yes, stains are bad. But what stains? It begs the question, what stains? And there's a principle that I think we need to be reminded of, and that is that Scripture always interprets Scripture. Scripture, if you're reading something, you don't quite understand it, don't feel like you have the full understanding of what's being said, look for other verses that have similar words, and they will give you insight. By revelation of the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to see what's being said. And so I was thinking stains, and I was reminded of James chapter 1 and verse 27. James writes, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to love orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Unstained, there it is again. Now we're getting somewhere. Unstained from the world. The world is what stains. The world is what stains. What is a, and just to understand what a stain is, it is a foreign substance that attaches itself to what it should not, whether that's marinara sauce or ketchup or whatever it is, attaches to what it should not and seeps in and leaves a blemish, leaves a mark. Another translation says unspotted. It leaves a mark where it shouldn't. Keep oneself unstained, unspotted from the world. So the world is what stains. The world is what stains. Paul was saying, keep the commandment, the gospel, the main thing. Keep the main thing, and don't let it get stained. Keep it unstained and free from reproach. What does that mean? It means somebody can't look at you and say, oh, that's what a Christian is. We've all had that experience where somebody has been treated in a way that's incongruent with the teachings of Jesus. Somebody has acted out in a way that doesn't line up with faith, hope, and love. Oh, and that brings reproach. They're like, oh, if that's what a believer is, I'm good. And he says, don't let that happen, that we would be free from reproach. Keep the commandment unstained. Keep the main thing the main thing. So what stains? The world is what stains. What is the world? Well, obviously, it's secular music and R-rated movies and cussing and smoking and drinking. You know, right? That's the world. Bad people. Oftentimes we think that it's the arts and things that are bad. That's the world. And with that kind of outlook, we come to the place where we believe that the whole of Christianity is to not get stained by those things. To not be marked. To not let, oh, that was close. Oh, don't. Nicotine, tobacco, drinking. We get this idea that we need to hunker down and go get land on a mountainside and wait for Jesus to come back and split the sky. And we want to be away from them. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. See, over in 1 John 5:4, we are told that For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Okay, we need to overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So we're overcoming the world. But John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, our problem is we want to make it a superficial, surface-level problem that the world is bad people. The world is them doing bad things. The world is the arts and the entertainment industry. The world is all this behavioral stuff. And so we have doctrines and traditions and teachings and whole denominations built around staying away from that and avoiding being stained. Don't come near me with that. We're going to stay away from them. And we foster this us versus them mindset and attitude. And you begin to see how that undermines our mission of following Jesus. That's not what we're called to. I believe that the world in this context, that God so loves the world. And furthermore, Jesus prays in John 17, he says, I do not ask. While he's praying for us, he actually says, I'm not praying for this. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them. We're in the world. We're overcoming the world. We're not of the world. What in the world are we doing? And that's a question we need to consider. What in the world are we doing? Because Jesus says, I don't pray. To be clear, this is not what I'm asking, that you take them out of the world. That we would be in the world, but not of the world. But so often in the church, we flip that around and we are out and away from the world because they are bad. But we're so of the world. Because the definition, I believe, that fits what we're looking at here when he says to keep yourself unspotted, unstained from the world is an attitude, an outlook, a belief, an ideology, or philosophy that is completely removed from God. That is worldly. When we take an idea about an arena of life and we remove God from it completely. Don't allow the commandment to be stained by an idea, a philosophy, an ideology that is removed from God. Removed. I do not pray that you take them out of the world. See, the goal is of following Jesus is not to not get stained. We get down on Peter getting out of the boat because he fell in, he got wet. But so many disciples were afraid to even step out and get wet, as if the goal of following Jesus is to stay dry, right? I do not pray. See, instead of being the most contagious agent in the room, we're trying to stay separate. When Jesus wants us to be the antidote, the answer to what we're facing. 1 John 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world. Ideas, attitudes, outlooks, concepts, philosophies that are removed from God. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So good. The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So just to step back and have some perspective, Jesus is saying, I'm not praying that you take them out of Kansas City. I want you to keep them in Kansas City. Because Kansas City needs Harmony Vineyard. Kansas City needs the church. The answer is not avoidance and isolation from them. That's not the answer. But he is saying, don't fall in love with the world and the love of the world. The love of ideas and concepts that are removed from God. Because the truth is, we all fight with this. We all deal with this. We all deal with stains. And of course the world is dying and stained and in pain, distant from the answer. And that's why we're here. Talks about the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life. It always comes back to money, sex, and power is a problem in the world. Deal specifically with these things and these attitudes and outlooks removed from God. We don't like to hear preachers talking about money, but when your attitude and your outlook and your handling of money is completely removed from God, you have a love of it, a greed and a desire that is never satisfied, never fulfilled. It's never enough. I spent years working in finance in the banking world, and I knew people on both sides of the spectrum that had no money and were always striving to get money and could never keep it, and it consumed their life. And I knew people that had lots and lots of money, and they were consumed with not losing it. That was their world. And the desire for that, the love of that, is insidious in nature. It's never satisfied. And it will destroy you. Do not love the world or the things of the world. When we take these fundamental realities of human life, God's not against money. God wants you to be blessed. I believe God wants you to have more than enough to be a blessing to others. And I believe that if you seek anything below that standard, you're missing out on what God has for you. But he desires for you to have things, not for things to have you. And same thing is true when it comes to intimacy and human sexuality. You take that outside of and say, God, you're not in this. I'm keeping this to myself. It will destroy you. You will never be satisfied. You'll be consumed. Don't love the world or the things of the world, these attitudes that are removed from God. And we can have all kinds of ideas and thoughts and attitudes that are permeated with God thoughts and that we have an awareness of God. And welcome the presence of God and the wisdom of God and still have this thing that we keep over here that we say, don't touch it. I have my way of handling this. And that's a stain. And see, that what is the answer? What is the antidote? What removes stain? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I believe that's the critical key, the love of the Father. And far too often we read love for the Father. That it's my love for God, it's my affection for God that is the antidote, where we turn our relationship, that little twist of for God, not of God, and it becomes about performance. It becomes about what I do. It's my praying power. It's my willpower. It's my ability to read my Bible and to things that I do. We try to make that the answer, and it doesn't work. It's not about our love. It's His love. The love of the Father. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its what? Its satisfaction, its fulfillment. No, it's unfulfilled desires. The world's these attitudes and outlooks, these ways of living that are removed from God, where we say, don't touch this. This is mine. Never satisfy. Never fulfill. Never enough. And the heart of the Father, see, it's, he could have said that it's the love of the Spirit, and he would have been right. It's the love of the Son, and that they are God. But he says the love of the Father. And it's so key that it's the love of the Father that he brings out the reality that God's a dad. He's a good father. What does a dad do? A dad is a protector. A dad is a provider. A dad gives identity. He tells you who you are. He keeps you from stepping out and acting out. Father, I don't know if you've ever had, so there are many people that don't have a father. And there's been an attack on humanity and fathers for generations. And the enemy is always trying to destroy relationship with fathers. And that's why God reveals himself as Father. Because even if you haven't had, I have a loving Father that's always been there. I can't imagine not having that. But if you've never experienced the love of a Father, you do have a Father who is your daddy, who is your papa, who is always there, and he will protect you. Because dad's the one that stays up at night. If somebody's trying to mess with the family, if there's a burglar or a thief, dad's the one who protects. Dad's the one that calls out and says who you really are. And we have a Heavenly Father who tells us who we are. Who we really are, who he's created us to be. Because sometimes you act out and you forget who you are. Oftentimes in the morning when my son is going to walk to school, because he's a big kid now and he can walk to school himself, I'll tell him, remember who you are and whose you are. Sometimes as children we forget who we are and we need to be reminded. Our Father reminds us who we are. This world is passing away with its unfulfilled desires. And your Father wants you satisfied. Your Father has a good plan for you. He wants the best for you, not just good enough. He wants the best for you. He's a good Father. I want us to look at Romans chapter 12 in closing this morning. Romans chapter 12, out of the Message. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. He brings the best. I don't bring the best out of me. The love of the Father brings the best out of me. He brings the best out of you. His desire is always that you'd have more than enough and be satisfied. So keep the commandment unstained. This morning, I believe that there are outlooks and attitudes that the Holy Spirit would come in and say, you know what? We need to deal with this. There's a spot here. And just like how I don't want you to mess with my stains, he is the answer. He is the antidote. He is the solution that removes the stains. He's the one. The love of the Father. Not your love for the Father. And I pray that you love him and you know him. And you make your love known for him again and again. But we talked in the prayer room about the faithfulness of God. That he is so faithful, he cannot deny himself. And he's good and he's faithful even when we're not. Even when we're stained. Even if we're in the middle of making bad decisions that are unhealthy and unproductive and do not satisfy. So I would encourage you to allow the love of the Father to do the work that only it can do. The work that only he can do. And if you don't know him, if you have never met Jesus and made him Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. To cross the line of faith and say, Jesus, I give you my life. So many of us, we're so stained and we're so messed up and we're so beyond that we have no hope without Jesus. And that's true for all of us. Whether we've known him for 30 years or 3 minutes, we are so desperately dependent upon him. Because he is alone the answer for our problems. Jesus, I give you my life. Please come and do what only you can do. It is your blood that washes us white as snow. It is who you are and what you do. We thank you for these moments that we share. And I thank you that you are at work in the hearts and lives of each person watching. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, I just encourage you, if you cross that line of faith and you said, Jesus, I give you my life, please send us a message, send us an email. The phone number's in the description on the video. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for you. We want to welcome you into the family. And you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus is the answer, and he's here, and he loves you. I just want to thank you for being with us this morning. Go in peace. I'm going to pray a blessing over you, and I'm going to let you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You're dismissed. Go in peace.